Good morning, Fair Plain Presbyterian Church. I'm sorry that I can't be with you in person this morning, but as I'm sure Marlene has already told you, we have the COVID here at our house. And so we just don't want to get anybody else sick. So I will be reading scripture this morning and preaching from our home office. And thanks to Kristen for running the digital end of this so that we can make this work. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen for the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, including all the saints throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. If we are being afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. If we're being consoled, it's for your consolation, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we're also suffering. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our consolation. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death so that we would rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He who rescues us from so deadly a peril will continue to rescue us. On him we've set our hope that God will rescue us again, as you also join in helping us by your prayers, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, help us to hear your word this morning and to begin to hope and trust again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My sermon this morning is titled, Repent of Giving In to Despair. And I want to say, by way of introduction, I want to be really clear before we get going on one thing. This is not a sermon about repenting of depression or repenting of having mental illness or anything like that. That stuff's not a sin. And the other thing I want to say is that this sermon's for me, too. I flipped back through my journal, and I've talked about feeling despair more than a few times. I have a few notes with the word despair in the title. I looked up despair in the dictionary just to make sure I know what it meant. And yeah, it means to lose all hope or to be overcome by a sense of futility or defeat. Anybody else feel that way sometimes? Because I definitely do. The other thing we have to know here is that Paul himself, Paul wrote in the passage that I just read about despairing of life itself, but this week is the first week of spring. The first day of spring is later this week, and I thought that is enough reason to try to go beyond despair. But first, I wanted to talk about some platitudes that I don't find helpful for trying to go beyond despair. If you find those comforting, just ignore that part. It's not for you. It's for those of us who've struggled to know what to do when we feel that despair and that we don't find, for those of us who don't find these things satisfying. The first one is, God is in control. Like, great, how's that supposed to help? So this horrible thing that happened to me, I'm supposed to be comforted by the fact that that God is somehow responsible for it? No, thank you. Or, God has a plan. I'm reminded of that delightful webcomic I saw a while ago where someone's sick in bed and they're like, God has a plan. Somebody says, God has a plan. And then the next frame is God standing there next to a whiteboard going, God's plan. Step one, create the universe. Step two, give Steve cancer. Step three, question mark. And God's just going, I wonder what the next thing's going to be. It doesn't work. At least it doesn't for me. And this is one of the consequences of recording at home. Micah just slipped in. He needs a kiss. So. I don't think Micah needing a kiss was part of God's plan either. And there was a point in my life where I just thought, if this is God's plan, then God's not trustworthy at all. You know? It's been a long time, but I try so hard to make the point to never betray the person that I was all those years ago who would not be comfortable, who would never have accepted, oh, this is just part of God's plan. Like, no, if God is powerful enough to create the universe, then surely God could have come up with a different way to get this outcome. It's been so important to me to remember that back then there was no imagined version of the future that would have made up for what was going on. It actually made me trust God less to believe that it was all part of some clever divine plan to do something good. It left me wondering if God was going to do something worse, you know, for my own good. And I came to believe that God wasn't behind that suffering. God couldn't be behind that suffering and loving at the same time. It's not a philosophical thing of like, oh, well, how can God be all-powerful and all-good? That's not a philosophical question. It was a conclusion that I reached in my own heart for the sake of the survival of my faith. I wrote in a blog post in 2015 that I want God good, or not at all. And if God's someone who planned the most horrible, difficult things in my life which, by almost every measure, has been incredibly privileged compared to the much greater suffering of so many people made in God's image throughout history, if God planned those suffering, I would say that that's not a God worth worshiping. Again, if you find this helpful, just ignore this part. Think of it as God testing your faith or something. But that's not the God that we're shown in Scripture, and that's not the God we're shown in Jesus Christ. But speaking of the somebody else has it worse, this isn't the Olympics. You can be having a rough time, even if it's not the end of the world as you know it. Even if you think, ah, it should be minimal, or people, why do I feel so sad about this thing that happened to me when there's so many people who have it so much worse? It's not a contest. If you're having a hard time, you're having a hard time. That's real. So, how do we find hope? How do we find our way out of this great difficulty, the castle of the giant despair from the Pilgrim's Progress? How do we find our 1,001 reasons to hope? And I need to add, part of the problem is we're all unique. We all have our own problems, our own burdens that we carry. So what sends me spiraling might be a Tuesday for you. What triggers you might make me yawn. You know? What's terrifying for one person or causes them great despair might be very different for somebody else. Like, there's this story of a Pentecostal preacher who woke up in the middle of the night with a sense of horrific evil in the room, and he sits up, looks across the room, and the devil himself is sitting in a rocking chair. He wakes up, he opens his eyes, and he goes, oh, it's only you, and he goes back to sleep. So what causes one person problems might be nothing to someone else. What sends one of us into despair might not be enough to get a raised eyebrow. Some of us might wish we had other people's problems. So, any attempt at making a universal five-step plan to help you find your way out of despair, it's not going to work. With that in mind, I do have a few suggestions, a few ideas that might help, and I'm offering these in no particular order, and just know that, as they say on the internet, your mileage may vary. First, own the despair. Go into it. Be aware of that feeling and don't try to hide from it. A few months back, I found myself in a pretty rough place and I tried to avoid it. And I finally gave in and started listening to music that connected with that place in my heart. And I realized as I listened to that first song and the song that one reminded me of and the one after that, that my heart knows its way home. I've been in that particular despair so many times that even if I didn't know at the time how to get back, I remembered that there was a part of me that knew that. I saved that playlist and I called it In Case of Heartache, Break Glass. So, first, own your despair. Second, talk to a trusted friend about it. The catch to this, of course, is that depression is a liar and doesn't want you to believe that you have any friends. Or at least not anyone who'd want to talk to you. At least not right now. They're busy. The thing that dragged you so far into despair, it's not worth bothering them about. And it's ironic because you have friends for whom you'd drop everything if they were going through a difficult time. You have good friends that you can talk to. Also, though, the best time to make a note of who your mental health 911 friends are is when you're not in despair. So if you find yourself like, oh, I'm in a decent place, that might be a good time to make a list of who you can call to talk to when you're having a rough time and you think that you have no one you can talk to. So own the despair, talk to a trusted friend. Gonna suggest number three, talk to God in church. Pray? What? I know. But prayer might help dig your way out of despair. Number four, therapy. Find a therapist if you can, if you can afford it. If you have a mental illness that's treated with medication, get the medication. Take the medication. I'd recommend it if you can afford it. And number five, I'm not sure if it's much of a suggestion, but choose joy. In 2023, I made one resolution. It was choose joy. I'm not sure how much it helped. I did try to keep that intention before me, but if you're looking for reasons to celebrate, things that can help your joy, things to bring you joy, things to celebrate, I think that can help to take up the practice of looking for joy even in the space of despair. And again, this might not work. None of these things might help you where you are. I hope that all of them would help at least a little, but they might not get you out. And also, this isn't an exhaustive list. If you know something that helps you dig your way out of despair, it might help to write it down. But the thing about despair, about that definition we had at the beginning of no hope, is that there's always some hope. There's always hope. For us who believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's not just that one single story of Jesus was raised from the dead and that's it. It's not even the story that the resurrection happened to Jesus in the past and will happen to all of us in the future. In 2 Corinthians 4:8, just a few chapters later, Paul writes that we are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. Just a few chapters earlier, he said we had despaired even of life. So it's not a place that you necessarily will stay. It's what Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ is the first fruits of those who've died. It's that, as biblical scholar N.T. Wright puts it, and I've paraphrased it, what happened to Jesus at the resurrection is going to happen to the whole universe. And Jesus is just the opening act in that. And I think that's maybe only half right. Resurrection is built into the fabric of the universe. Night always turns into day. Pretty consistently. Storms always end. Winter always turns into spring. Sometimes it seems like earlier than usual, especially this year. God is always at work. Just don't always know the scale that God's at work on. And sometimes we can't see it. And to say, again, to say that God is always at work, that doesn't mean that God is behind everything that happens. I don't think that's the case. I think that God is always at work to turn the things that happen that are not good into good, to transform those things. As Theodore Parker said, and Dr. King paraphrased, the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice. So, I invite you in this fifth sermon in our series on repentance to repent of giving into despair. Friends, don't let despair win. Let's pray. Gracious God, you give us joy, you give us hope, you give us springtime and dawn and resurrection. We pray that we will let that soak into the heart of our lives and not give in to despair. That we won't let despair have the last word, let despair win. We pray for your joy and your comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.